I'm Nash Wedderburn, and this is UBS's Top of the Morning. During retirement, investors are still faced with multiple risks. One of those risks, which also happens to be the most overlooked risk at times, is longevity risk. Today, we'll take a dive into the importance of longevity risk during retirement years. My guest today is Total Wealth Strategist of the Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Ainsley Carbone. It's Monday, October 14th. Ainsley, welcome back and glad to have you in the studio again.
Thank you for having me.
So Ainsley, before we kick off, I know we want to walk through your recently published MRM, otherwise known as the Modern Retirement Monthly. So let's begin there. Can you start by painting the picture and walking us through this month's edition?
Yep, absolutely. So in this month's Modern Retirement Monthly, we dive into life expectancy. So we talk about what it is, what it actually tells you, and what it means for investors as it relates to their retirement plan. So there are a ton of risks that we face when we're when we're trying to plan for retirement, but all of them basically add up to this overarching risk, which is longevity, or the risk of outliving your assets.
Yep.
So what do I mean by they all add up to longevity? Well, when you're thinking about, let's say, sequence risk, which is one risk that we talk about often, that occurs when an investor enters retirement and they're also entering a bear market. So what happens is they end up withdrawing from their portfolio at a lower value, and it ends up them taking out a larger portion of their retirement account. And that amount, that spending rate, which is higher than they had originally planned, actually ends up being something that's not viable for the long term. So what happens is they're just essentially hurting the long-term growth of their plan, and they're taking away from the longevity of their account. So again, that's adding up to longevity. Something else that we discuss often, inflation risk, which is the risk that inflation is going to occur and your retirement savings aren't going to be able to maintain their purchasing power. So what happens is they have to spend more in order to purchase the same number of goods. So again, you're spending at a higher rate, and again, it's not viable. So again, hurting the longevity of your portfolio. So I could go on for a while, but you understand the idea. Longevity risk is an issue for nearly all investors, and it really can't be ignored. So this is especially true since the life expectancy is actually rising across the globe, which means longer lifespans, and longer lifespans just exacerbate the need to plan for the long term.
Great point. Now, one of the points you mentioned is life expectancy and the rising rate across the globe, right? So what is it about life expectancy that many investors or even advisors might be missing when planning for longevity?
So there are so many studies that show that people actually typically underestimate their lifespans. And this, of course, is a huge concern because what happens is investors are then planning for a time horizon that is much shorter than their actual time horizon that they're going to experience. So there are a few reasons why that might be the case, but I think having an incomplete understanding of what life expectancy is actually representing, then I think that is what actually is ultimately causing people to underestimate the appropriate planning horizon. So life expectancy, when taken for its face value, can be misleading. And what do I mean by that? Well, there are two reasons why it can be misleading. One, it's the fact that it's representative of an average of a large population. And the second reason, the fact that it does not remain consistent or constant throughout the lifetime. So averages mean that, first of all, very few people are going to actually live to that life expectancy. So I think, let's say if you say life expectancy is 78.9 years, very few people are actually going to live that many years. Many of them are going to live beyond that, and some will pass before that. So planning for that exact amount is not going to be accurate. But it also means that it's not very informative for those who are above average. So it doesn't take into account any an individual's lifestyle, which can have an impact on longevity. So in the report, I gave the example of body mass index. So maintaining a healthy body mass index can actually add 2 to 3 years onto the median life expectancy. And that's just one example of many that can actually influence someone's life expectancy. So what happens is the average that is stated is actually not a measurement that's going to be very informative for someone who lives an above average or an extremely healthy lifestyle. Another reason that it can be misleading is because it isn't always made clear that life expectancy at birth is not the same that you'd experience when you go to retire. So in the report, I gave the example of someone in Japan. So in Japan at birth, life expectancy is age 84. But once you get to age 65, they say that you can actually live 22 more years, which ends up being 87. So what happens?
Yeah, exactly.
So if you were to plan something for your life expectancy that you get at birth, it's actually not going to be accurate because it's going to be a shorter amount than what's expected as you age. So you can kind of think about it. Every time you reach a new birthday, you can say, oh, I've actually added more years onto my life. So that's kind of what we go over in the report.
That's very interesting. And I guess given that backdrop, the question now becomes, how does CIO recommend investors to look at their investment strategy when investing for the longer term, anticipating lifetime, as you just mentioned, as it adjusts?
So we'll certainly advise against using median life expectancy when when determining the appropriate planning horizon. So instead, we suggest targeting age 95 for an individual and age 100 to 105 for a couple.
Okay.
Now, that's because the odds of one partner in a two-person household lasting longer than the average life expectancy for an individual, the odds are much higher for that. For at least one person of a couple lasting longer than an individual. And this is especially important to keep in mind when planning for a couple where there's one who's much younger or much older than the other, because even if both pass at the same age, it ends up being a longer time horizon. Let's say if both pass at their own age of 100, that means that it's going to be much longer. Even though it's the same age,
it's still
the planning horizon is going to be much longer. So this is especially important when it comes to structuring wealth within your plan, because more years in retirement means you have to work harder to fund those years in retirement. Yeah. So when investing in the context of the three L's, liquidity, longevity, legacy, this will have a direct impact on how we size and select our longevity strategies, which consist of assets that we need to fund our lifetime spending. So there are certain trade-offs that we face when sizing and selecting our strategies, in particular the longevity strategy. For instance, investors have to decide whether they want to minimize their probability of failure while living, or if they want to maximize growth in their legacy strategies. So I'm not going to go into that too much because we spoke about that on the Top of the Morning for last month's Modern Retirement Monthly.
Correct.
So if clients or advisors or any listeners want to read more about that, they can refer back to that report. But I think it's important to be able to accurately weigh those trade-offs. So when it comes down to sizing and selecting it, you want to appropriately be able to determine which route it is that you want to take. But in order to get there, you're going to need to be able to first decide what your planning horizon is in order to be able to accurately weigh your options.
So I guess you make great points. We've looked at it from CIO's point of view. We've also looked at it from an advisor's point of view. Now, let's look a little bit deeper into those risks, right? How can families address their longevity risks personally?
So there are many things that can be done to mitigate longevity risks, such as spend less, save more, or applying maybe a direct hedge, all of which, when I talk about those different strategies, I provided links in the report that people can click on so that they can learn more about those strategies. But ultimately, it's important to start planning for longevity earlier rather than later. So Justin Waring and I published a blog earlier today that was titled, Can I Afford to Retire Early? So it discusses the cost of having to fund a longer retirement. Longer retirements being caused by either deciding to retire earlier than planned or actually living longer.
Mm-hmm.
So in the blog, we talk about the cost of adding more years in retirement, meaning how much more do you have to fund your longevity strategy? And we found that longevity risk actually becomes costlier to address later in life. So it's important and less expensive, of course, to prepare for it ahead of time. I encourage everyone to read the blogs just so that you can see how much costlier it is to delay planning for that longevity risk. But what's crucial to point out is that, as I said earlier, life expectancy actually increases as we age. And so if your retirement plan is based on an actuarial table today, you may find yourself falling short of your target as your projected lifespan grows. So that's something that I, of course, want to point out. But when it comes down to a personal situation, of course, there are so many actions that I talked about earlier, but what it really comes down to when navigating your longevity, you want to think about, okay, what is it that I want my life to look like later on? And how can I make sure that I can be certain that I'm going to be able to carry out that lifestyle and carry out that high quality of lifestyle that I'm looking to attain? So when it comes down to thinking about later on in life, you can ask yourself, okay, well, who's going to change my light bulb when I need something to be changed? Okay, I'm 85. I know that I can probably climb that ladder, but do I really want to risk falling off that ladder? Mm-hmm. Who can I call to come and do that? One of our older reports goes over the different questions. Another one that you can ask yourself, who do you want to go get an ice cream cone with? Mm-hmm. So just thinking about how you're going to spend your time later on in life can help kind of point out the different aspects of your life that you might not be thinking about and the different aspects of your life that you might be needing help with. And by thinking about it ahead of time, you can then take the time needed and necessary to plan for those different aspects of life that you're going to need help with.
Wow, perfect insight. I appreciate that, Ainsley. And I guess one of the caveats would be the latter life is always as good as the former life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ainsley. Appreciate it again.
Thank you. Have a good day.
And once again, we've been joined by Total Wealth Strategists of the Americas, Ainsley Carbone from the UBS Chief Investment Office. There are many publications available now on UBS online services, including this aforementioned month of Modern Retirement Publication, otherwise short for MRM. And this titled is, What Does Life Expectancy Actually Mean? For UBS clients, you can contact your financial advisor to receive a copy of the report directly. Top of the Morning, we'll be back again for you tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone.
This presentation is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. Neither UBS Financial Services, Inc. nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances. In providing wealth management services to clients, we offer both investment advisory and brokerage services, which are separate and distinct and differ in material ways. For information, including the different laws and contracts that govern, visit ubs.com/workingwithus. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA, SIPC.